Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? When Jesus instituted the communion, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So we're literally taking part of the most intimate fellowship that we can have with him. Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. That's by identifying the different things about this body, this bread. Jesus also said, take this as often as you will. So you can take it daily. You can take it 2 or 3 times a day if you want. And you don't need a pastor and you don't need a priest to administer the Holy Communion. You can do this. In the book of Acts, I don't understand why people don't understand this. In the book of Acts, it tells that the disciples went from house to house breaking bread daily. They did it all the time. They went from house to house. It didn't say the apostles. It said the disciples. The people went from house to house breaking bread daily. Now, to discern the body of Christ, we need to look at this squarely and see the different things about this body. Number one, this bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant in sin in the Bible. Jesus' perfect, sinless body is what is represented here. And you'll notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. The Bible tells us that Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. You also notice that there are stripes in this bread. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And every time he shed blood, it was on purpose and it was for our redemption. You'll notice that this bread is also slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus. Every part of the curse, Jesus took it all. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being. In Jesus' name. John 1:7 says that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. That perfect, sinless blood of Jesus never died. That's why it can continually cleanse us from all sin. And it's because of that blood, not only have our sins been washed away, but we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we qualify for all of his blessings and promises. And it's because of that blood we can go boldly into his presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10, and we're going to continue our little journey through the gospel of prosperity. A lot of religious people don't like the prosperity gospel. They say, you can't find that in the Bible. It's all over the Bible. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 10. Or verse 11, says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. That should remind you that verse in Proverbs that tells us that the fruit of a man's lips is what's going to satisfy his belly. A man's belly is satisfied by the fruit of his lips. I mean, what we're saying. He puts a lot of emphasis on what we say. And look at verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I grew up in the Word of Faith circle, you know, in my Christian life. I grew up in the Word of Faith circle and the prosperity and the blessing and all that stuff. And I noticed a peculiar thing about people. They wanted everybody to know how blessed they were. And you'd see them, they'd show up and they'd get a hold of the prosperity message, and then they'd just take it and run with it, hook, line, and sinker. And that's great. Only thing is, in their desire for everybody to see how blessed they were, they go buy a new house and they go buy a new truck. And they show up and say, see how blessed I am. Say, what are the payments? You just bought yourself a lifetime of debt. You know, there's nothing wrong with buying a house, and there's nothing wrong with buying a car, but the point is, can you buy a $50,000 pickup instead of a $100,000 pickup and pay cash for it? Can you buy? This really drives especially some women crazy. Can you buy a $100,000 house and live in that until you have enough to buy a $500,000 house? See, pride causes a lot of people to live in debt slavery. When I was in Mexico on a mission one time, and I was wandering around, and I noticed a peculiar thing. There was a lot of houses in the process of being built, but originally they had a little 20 by 20 house, or 10 by 15, whatever they could build, that's what they have. And as they got enough to buy some more, they added on to their house. They'd add another room on. Then they'd add another room on. But it was always paid for. And I thought, I wonder why Americans can't come up with that concept. You know, you see a lot of houses here in Fort Davis that are the same way. They were a little house at one time, and then they added on to them later. They paid for them. And they always had it paid for. Somehow, when we're going to school and getting indoctrinated, we get taught these lessons about you get out of high school, you go to college, you get a sheepskin, and then you go with your degree and you go buy a house and you have a garage and two cars and 2.5 kids and all these fancy numbers they throw at you, and spend the rest of your life trying to pay that off so that maybe when you get 75 years old, you can enjoy retirement for a little while. Do you see the traps that we get into? How many of you were ever told when you were in school to go out there and learn a trade? Some of the older generations said, you go learn a trade. Now they tell you, just go get a degree. Now, I have friends that are, they're going to be paying off their school loans for the rest of their life. If they get them paid off. See the traps that the world sets for us. There's a lot of snares for the people out there in this world. But God's system, what did it say right there? Verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. That's a whole lot different system now, isn't it? And here's the thing. I had a real struggle with this. He's already made you rich. See, the kingdom of God is inside of you. I was getting ready to move down here, and I was having a real struggle with it because I'd come down here to look around, and if it wasn't black, it was brown. It was right after that fire, and I thought, man, this place looks like hell warmed over. I mean, it looked bad. And I just come out of a summer in Wyoming where the clover, you could lose cows in the clover. And I was thinking, and I got out to the gate. I struggled with this for a while. I got out to the gate to go to work, and I told God, I said, you know, I finally got myself where I'm in the blessing, and you want me to move to Texas? And he said, son, the blessing's on the inside of you. And that's when I started learning about the concept that kingdom of God is on the inside of you. You create your reality with the words of your mouth. That's why one of the things that drives me, that really bothers me about this place. People walk around calling this a desert. This is not a desert. I don't care how many parks you name after it. I don't care what any map says. This is not a desert. If you want to see a desert, go to southern Wyoming where the Red Desert is. There's sand dunes. You run one cow to the section and you have to feed her sometimes. This is not a desert. Don't curse this land by calling it a desert. Bless this land with the words of your mouth. Amen? You know, we could really have a lot different reality in these mountains if people would just come into agreement with this. But there are church people that will fight you hook, line, and sinker to call this place a desert. They don't understand the power of their words. Now let's go down. Let's turn to Luke 17, verse 21. Jesus said himself, said, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. See, too many people are running around seeking wealth out there. Reaching out there are different things. You know, the wealth is out there. It's inside of you. He put it inside of you. The kingdom of God is on the inside of you, and you have to speak it forth with the words of your mouth. See, you are a little creator. See, the great creator moved on the inside of you when you got born again and you received salvation. He's in there and he made you a little creator. Now you're going to run around creating all the time, whether you like it or not. The reality you're living in right now is a direct result of the words of your mouth. It If you're living in poverty, consider your ways and look at what you've been saying. See, some people say, I'm never, ever going to be able to make enough money to pay for all my bills or debts or whatever. Well, they're 100% right. They just spoke it into existence. But you can really receive these heavenly finances if you get in line with the kingdom of God. And understand this, that your needs have already been met at the cross. That Jesus has already met them. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich. See, it's a grace thing. It's a grace thing. Now he's given us these different little things that we can do to get involved with this kingdom and get these finances flowing. You know, Jesus did say, give, it'd be given unto you. Solomon said to cast your bread upon the waves, and after many days, it'll come back to you. You know, he even said, give it in 7 or 8 different directions. We don't know which one of those seeds is going to take root, but keep giving. Keep getting that out there, and then you're putting it in the kingdom of God, and the way his finances work, he multiplies it. See, the stock market, there's people talk about having a good year when the stock market returns them 5-10% on their money. But God doesn't work on percent, he works on multiplication. Isn't that cool? He works on multiplication. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, how are we going to make that happen right here and right now? See, we don't want to look into the future to have our needs met. We need to get our needs met right now. Mark chapter 11, Jesus gave us the directions right here, Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering unto them saith, Have faith in God. Literally, have the God kind of faith. See, that's the faith that they're talking about in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, where we call things that aren't as though they are. Now, if you walk around and think, God has met my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, you're not lying. You may not have 2 pennies rubbed together at the time, but you're calling things that aren't as though they are. You're bringing it from heaven to earth. You're bringing it out of the kingdom of God into this natural world. But he said, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. It's a curious thing. Those three verses have been kind of a major thing in the Word of Faith movement, and people seem to major on the believing part. And we are supposed to believe, but Jesus seemed to have more emphasis on what we say. Because he knows that we're going to create a good reality or a bad reality with the words of our mouth. Now, if we walk around talking about how poor we are, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be poor. You know, there's people walk around saying, I'm sick and tired of being broke all the time. Guess what? They're going to be sick and tired, and they're going to be broke. Why? Because they keep talking about it. They keep sowing those words. Well, if you walk around talking about how blessed you are, that God has already made you rich in Christ Jesus, and you've got the finances that you need in order to survive in this world, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have those finances. It's already there. You just got to speak it into reality. It's a grace thing. It really is a grace thing. You're not going to earn it. It's a grace thing. You're going to have to receive it. Amen. Then because you receive it, you can give it. Did you know you've never been able to give anything that you didn't get first receive? You've never been able to give anything that you didn't receive. We freely give because we freely receive. Now turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 29 says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So right there tells us you've already been given everything. It's already yours. It's already yours. It's there. It's in there. It's in you. You don't have to beg God for it. You don't have to ask God for it. It's yours. He's already given it to you. If your dad gave you a bicycle when you was a kid, and it was sitting right there with your name on it, would you walk up to him and say, can I have that bike? No, I already gave that to you. Yeah, but can I have it? It's yours. I already gave it to you. Yeah, but I want it. Here it is. That's how the church has been with our Father. I've given you, He's freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. And they spend more time asking God for what He's already given them instead of thanking Him for it. And enjoying it. Thank you, Father, for meeting my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, that verse gets that people say that after the fact. You know, something happens and they finally get some money and they say, thank you, Father, for meeting my needs. Why don't you just say it ahead of time and you'll receive it a lot faster. Thank you, Father, I've been made rich in Christ Jesus. You're speaking your reality into existence. What reality do you want? Psalm chapter 23. This is like one of the first psalms I ever memorized, ever learned. I walked around saying it for a long time. And then one day in Wyoming, I realized it. And we rented a little bunkhouse when we got there because all the houses were full. It was hard to find a place to live. We rented a little bunkhouse, and there was a stream that came right by the house. There was a tree out there and green grass. And I lay in there one day, and I heard that stream, and the first thing that comes to my mind was Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I had said that and said that and said that and said that over and over and over and over again. One day, it just hit me. That spoke my reality into existence. I was laying there by a stream. There's green grass right there. Had a home. The Lord was taking care of me. Amen. And then He just keeps on blessing us as we keep on receiving it. You ever watch a football game, a quarterback, he'll take that ball, he'll launch it out there, you know, but somebody has to catch that ball. Somebody has to catch that ball. God has taken His blessing. He launched it out there. You know, there's a lot of people that won't pick up their hands to catch that blessing. They won't receive it. You know, there's strongholds. There are religious strongholds in the church that have to be taken care of. And we have to have those things tore down. We have to take those strongholds down. Sometimes people get taught, well, that prosperity business is nonsense for the church. No, it's not nonsense. It's very important for the church to get a hold of prosperity. And the reason is, it costs money to get people born again. You know, people don't like to hear that. But it really does cost money to get people born again. I'm a beneficiary of that. I was living in a little area where there wasn't many people trying to get me born again. They spent a lot of time telling me I was going to go to hell. But they weren't lined up trying to get me saved. All of a sudden, some guy from Midland, Texas shows up there and says, hey, you don't have to go to hell. What's this about? Yeah, you don't have to go to hell. You can ask Jesus to save you. He'll forgive you of all your sins. That was my get out of hell free card right there. You know, that's the reason I got born again. I didn't want to go to hell. If that's not a good enough reason, then there isn't one. So I got born again, and then I started figuring out some other stuff. I got a good God. I got a good shepherd. Man, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. You know, the Bible tells us we have to have our mind renewed to the Word of God. And the only way we're going to have our mind renewed to the Word of God is to look at that and come into agreement with it. Whether you like to believe it or not, it is the Lord's good pleasure to bless you. Whether you like to believe it or not, God wants you to be financially prosperous. Whether you like to believe it or not, God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. So what we need to do is find out what God says about us, get it in our hearts and agree with it, and walk around saying it. Walk around speaking it into existence. Say what God says about you. You're calling things that aren't as though they are. Unfortunately, people walk around calling things that are as though they always will be. You know, people will get some kind of sickness, they'll walk around talking about their sickness. They'll talk about their final destination. Some of them even start talking about dates. You know, like this doctor seems to know everything like maybe he created you. You know, doctors, some reason, play God. I really wish a lot of people would just not listen to them. You know, they'll go to the doctor and doctor say, you got 3 months. And then these people can be doing fine for 2 months and 3 weeks. And it's like that last week they get in a race to meet that special day. We've all been told, you know, you got to grind in the 8 to 5 and work. And then you'll have enough to retire on and you'll be okay. You know, I knew this cowboy up home and he drank like a fish. He seriously did. All the time. But he was a good friend of the family. But he told me, he said, you know, you do what you love to do, the money will be there. Now he owns a ranch that is just worth millions. Just millions. And he just drank every day, ride his horse and work on ranches and just kind of did what he loved to do. And then pretty soon he's got this $1 million lifestyle. He said, do what you love to do. Do what you love to do and the money will be there. There's a lot of people that are doing things that God did not create them to do. They're doing things because that's what mama told them to do, or that's what daddy told them to do, or that's what the school system told them to do. But it's not what they were created to do. There's a lot of doctors running around out there that are supposed to be preachers. There's a lot of teachers running around out there that are supposed to be preachers. There's a lot of people that are in places that they're not supposed to be. And you can tell when these people are in a place they're not supposed to be, they're not happy. They may have money, but they have no prosperity. Prosperity is not just money. Prosperity is everything that God entails. It's all Him. It's all in there. Just go down to verse 5. In the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. See, there's no enemies in heaven. Did you know that? He prepared this table for us right now. It's here for us right now. All we have to do is go up to it and take from that table. You know, you're not gonna wear God out. He's the never-ending, never-failing source of your supply. He's never going to run out. He's never going to run short. He's never going to have to tighten his belt. You can receive from Him and receive from Him and just keep on receiving from Him. Offering thanks to Him is a good start. Thank you, Father, for supplying all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that I have been made rich. Let's go to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 12. Says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He wants you to receive His blessing. And as far as He's concerned, He's already given it. Sometimes people get confused about this. But here's the thing about salvation. Your salvation was paid for 2,000 years ago. Your sins were forgiven 2,000 years ago. You just didn't make it a reality until one day you said, Jesus, be my Lord. Amen? That's when you sealed the deal. Well, you know what? All the blessings were assured 2,000 years ago. You're just going to have to make it a reality now by saying it is so. When you see something in the Bible that's a promise or something about you, say, yes, that's me, Lord. That is mine. I say it. That is mine. Speak it forth. You may have to speak it forth for a while. Some people say, that's just some of that name it and claim it stuff. Say, amen. I'm in the name it and claim it crowd. How did you get born again? You spoke it forth. You believed it in your heart. And then you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You spoke it forth. You spoke forth what you believed. You believed He was Lord. And you spoke it out loud. Now, believe that you are rich. Speak it out loud. What? You see my checkbook lately? I didn't ask you about your checkbook. I asked you about Christ in you. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ in you, the one that created everything we know. Jesus Christ in you, that creates things through you. The same way you got born again. You're going to believe it in your heart, and then you're going to speak it with your mouth. Amen? Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. See, don't give up. Too many people give up. They give up too soon. You know, some say, well, I'm going to go try this giving thing and see what happens. Nothing. If you're just going to try it, see what happens, guess what? Nothing's going to happen because you're not releasing any faith in it. That's why the emotionalism thing in the church, these emotional sermons that happen in these churches where they get people up and shouting hallelujah, jumping up and down, you know, you give into this ministry, you're going to share in this anointing and you know, God's going to bless you a hundredfold, and they're getting everybody shouting hallelujah, and then they pass the basket. And everybody's excited, and they're all pumped up, and they're going, and they're giving. And then they wonder why something didn't happen. Because God says, as a man purposes in his heart, So you get alone and you get quiet with God and you ask Him how much to give, where to give, and who to give to. Did you know it's none of the pastor's business who you give to? Or where you give? Or how much you give? That's between you and God. That's why that basket stays back there on that table. It's a personal thing between you and God. And the pulpiteerism isn't going to happen in this church. If God directs you to give, give. And then that's when the blessings start getting multiplied. He's given you something to give already. Now maybe somebody doesn't have anything to give. Reach down and pick up a rock. You got something. Go give that rock away. You've always got something. You know, there was a missionary who went over to Africa, and this guy made these pillows out of grass. You know, he made these pillows, and he stuffed these cases with grass. And that's how they made pillows. And I mean, this was a pretty desperately poor area, and this guy didn't have anything really going on. Anyway, this missionary or this evangelist was there, so this guy made him a pillow and gave him that pillow. Well, then pretty soon, this guy was riding a bicycle. He had a bicycle to ride. And he just kept giving. And he went back there again. The guy had him a motorcycle. And this guy kept giving, kept giving. That guy went back to that village, preached. The guy had him a car. He had a car. See, that's how God's financial system works. We get involved. He already had something to give because God gave him something to give. He had that pillow, so he gave that pillow away. Wayne Myers was down somewhere in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And this guy had some kind of a ranch down there and a few goats, and they asked him if his son come and asked him if he could come down there and talk to his dad and cast the devil out of him. Well, the guy gave him a goat. Wayne Myers went back down there sometime later and said, "How's that guy with the goats down there?" He said, "Man, there's goats running all over those hills out there. They're everywhere." See how it works? You're going to keep what you have by giving it away. There is that keepeth more than is necessary and attendeth to poverty. There is that scattereth that leads to prosperity. He's given us this system to work with. And he's already given us something to give. So we give and we receive because we've already received something to give. Amen? And nothing about obedience. It's about receiving what you've already been given so that you can give it so you can receive more. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your words. We praise you in everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for this mighty, mighty blessing of the kingdom of God residing on the inside of us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us, our good shepherd. You lead us in paths of righteousness. You take care of us. You keep us in trouble. You keep us safe from the trouble. We know trouble comes our way, but nothing shall by any means hurt us. And that when we run into a hard spot, we can look unto you. You are the God that still does miracles for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have snacks and coffee back here. Come back and have some.